Good afternoon. Thank you for being troopers and hanging in there in the very end of the day. It's been a long day. We went to an early presentation. They're great presentations. I'm Virginia Harper. I am the co-owner of the oldest Marine Surveyor School in the United States. Not quite as old as Lloyd's, but there was no training facility for Marine Surveyors 32 years ago. And with the help of the Coast Guard, we founded our school with my ex-husband and I. And our first course was one course, and it was about that big. Now we have seven courses, and our flagship course is the Marine Surveyor's Guide, and that is 2 4-inch binders plus a 2-inch binder plus 3 exams. One of those is optional if you want a Coast Guard certification. Before I get started, I like to know, are we good? Okay, all right. No, I didn't know if he was okay. I like to know who I've got and where I've got. We're from Florida. We're based in Fort Myers, Florida. We started in the Caribbean with a captain's license school, and then we moved to Fort Myers when my children were old enough to go back to school. We had been living on our boat for 5 years, and we went to Fort Myers, Cape Coral area, if you know that area. I don't know. Some people do. Some people don't. We have sort of a direct interstate connection to the Midwest. Lots of Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio settlers. I'm actually the crumb of a cracker. I've been in Florida before my adulthood. I went to FSU for my bachelor's. I went to FAU for my master's. And I went to UCF for my doctorate. So I know the state very well. My husband is with me, Michael. He's going to be my lovely Vanna assistant in a few minutes. You'll see why. But before I get started, I do like to know where you're from, if you don't mind just shouting out your marina, if you own one, or your business, and where you're from. It would be great if we can start here. It'd be nice to know you. Okay, great. All right. How are we doing over here? I know where that is because I was born in Charleston. My dad was in the Navy. I was born at the Charleston Naval Station right after World War II. Yep.
Dennis Brindley, Green River Marine State Dock, Campbellsville, Kentucky, right in the center.
All right.
I'm Tim Woodson from Samson. We have 2 marinas in upstate New York and Southern
Lake. Oh, okay, great. I don't know upstate New York. My nephew was married in Cooperstown, destination.
Oh.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful area. Nobody in town on Thursday and Friday for, you know, the showers and the bachelor party, and then Saturday morning it looked like downtown Manhattan. Everybody's in upstate New York in the summer. I'm sorry, because of the door, I didn't. Oh, Ohio, great. Yeah, we got a lot of Ohioans. And then we have, you win the prize. No. And we were just going around introducing ourselves, which I just like to do that. I like to know where I'm.
John Bell on Chubb Insurance.
Okay, wonderful. Like Chubb. All right, so we've been around a long time. And I would venture to say that the majority of the working surveyors in all organizations started with us. We're a beginning school, but we take what we do very seriously. And we consider ourselves of service to the rest of the boating business. So what do marine surveyors do? They have a duty to their customers. You, if you're a marina owner, are wise to watch who comes in and out of your yard. And feel like I should start over. I thought I was on time. Am I early? I'll just start over. Oh, they jumped ahead. I must have jumped ahead. Okay. This is me. You guys are coming in late. We all introduced ourselves. So real quick, I hate to leave anybody out because I'm going to hopefully get you out early, because I know the last presentation of the day, those people are hungry, so we want to get to dinner. Who?
Calvin Gitter from
Chubb. Oh, you're part of Chubb. Are you too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, welcome. And who else? Somebody else.
I'm Richard and
good. Okay. So we were just getting started. I had introduced myself. I have, by the way, if you missed that, and for those of you who are coming in, my card is on the back counter, and there's some handouts that I'll refer to. You might want to pick them up. Come on in. No, you're welcome. Come on in. We're just getting, I got started, then I'll start over. I didn't realize I had jumped the gun here. Let me see if I can get these on track. Okay, the next one. Yeah, that's where I want to be. Why are we jumping ahead? Yeah. So what do surveyors do? Okay, let me get back on track here. They do three things, depending on their comfort level. To take our course, to understand our courses, you must already be an experienced mariner or maritime professional. It is not for everybody. Okay, there is a very, very high degree of duty to the customer, and duty to and objectivity, and duty to the business. So there are three things. We have some surveyors who've been with us the entire 32 years, and they feel comfortable doing this and more. But the basics of marine surveying, if you don't know this, appraise. There are surveyors who do nothing but appraise. They will come in, buy, sell. They'll work for yacht brokers. Their appraisals are delineated and marked as nothing but buy-sell appraisers or appraisals, and that's what they feel comfortable with. They can work in-house for a yacht broker. They can work in-house for you if you have a some kind of dealership or some kind of other business at your marina that buys and sells boats. A full survey is different. A full survey, we call it a condition and valuation survey, generally for underwriting, for insurance, or for finance, all right? And then we have consultants who generally don't attempt this unless they're already working surveyors or coming from another end of the insurance business. And then I have three attorneys in our roster who are also surveyors. I also have a paralegal who works for an attorney who took our course. So they can be expert witnesses. They also do litigation. Those are the people who feel very confident what they're doing. So, you know, I always say, well, so a surveyor's on our yard. A surveyor's come in our marina. That surveyor represents only that which the surveyor is doing, because surveyors are considered independent contractors, by and large, unless you're paying them. If you are paying them, you have assumed responsibility for that surveyor's report, okay? So if you are paying that surveyor and you're a marina owner or a yacht broker, I would be very careful and explicitly state that somewhere in the paperwork, okay? Because what happens with marina owners and with yacht brokers and with people who hire the surveyor, if it's not disclosed to the customer, you have basically broken the first fiduciary, unwritten. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not talking about laws here, but you placed yourself in a very shaky position, because if you're planning on doing the repairs on that boat, or you're planning on selling that boat, it could come back to haunt you big time. So the first thing I do if I were a yacht broker, marina owner, or had some kind of side business, which is perfectly fine, you can do that, I'd make sure, what is my relationship with the surveyor I use? Okay? Because I'm on the other side of it, and I've trained surveyors, we've trained surveyors for 30 years, I warn the surveyor to stay independent. Okay? Just at the beginning, it's just basic. Okay, so if you picked up some of the handouts, this is a quick overview of what marine surveyors do. I encourage you to take it with you. And anything highlighted in yellow is something that you, as a business owner, should pay attention to. I'm just curious, because we get a lot of calls, a lot of interest in our courses, but we have to weed them out. Because as I stated, you really shouldn't take our courses. You can't. You can't understand them unless you're already in the marina business or the maritime business. And you can be a captain. You can be a delivery captain. You can own a marina. I have 5 marina owners now that are surveyors, that are on our roster. You can be a former yacht broker. Can you do both? Yes, you can, but it must be disclosed somewhere to the customer. Do you have to disclose it? Legally, you don't. But you're going to get in trouble down the road. So you can also be... I have 2 former airline pilots who have owned boats their entire lives. For some reason, being an airline pilot seems to coincide with loving to inspect vessels. And they're doing very well. They started a couple of years ago, and they're busy, and they're doing a bang-up job on their reports. So I like to stop at this part and ask, are there any questions on about fiduciary responsibility? Who hires the surveyor? I'm asking, who do you think hires this? Who has the primary responsibility? Let's say you have a boat for sale in your yard or a boat for sale in the marina. Or the seller. Not the, the most often question, it's more like a rhetorical question, is, so if I get this business going, I just get my name out to all the insurance companies? Yes, but not now. Eventually you will. But it's a word-of-mouth business, and you're on the front line. You guys who own marinas and yacht brokers, and if you own a dealership in conjunction, the surveyor is hired by the boat owner. So, and let me ask you a question. Is there a national license of marine surveyors?
Certification agencies, but not an actual license.
There is no federal or national license or training for marine surveyors that is required by law. So, and what that does in my end of the business, it opens up big cans of worms everywhere. It opens up tons of cans of worms. So, and I'll come back. I'm not, I have to keep disclaiming, I'm not, I have 2 kids who are attorneys, but I'm not. So, keep that thought in mind, who hires the surveyor. Okay, so my suggestion is if you didn't pick up one of these, you might want to pick up one of these. Because it talks about what exactly they do. And the yellow highlighted part are the things that surveyors should know and in their training. Okay? So let me go to our next one. So I read a very interesting article. I want to say... this year. Are you familiar with Southern Boating? It's a magazine that comes out of Fort Lauderdale. I call Fort Lauderdale the Babylon of boating, and I'm only 100 miles from it. The article was called Choosing the Perfect Yard. So why do I put this up here? It's because the surveyor that you know or you allow on your yard, and you can restrict them. You can't tell the customer who to hire, but you can ask the surveyor if he meets what you want for your insurance purposes, for your liability purposes. So why do they choose? I just stuck this in here because they choose you for security. Number one, security. Okay? And why does that matter? Because what surveyors do is they go after stolen boats. They do hull rubbings. I had a surveyor knock on our office door one morning, said, I'm after a stolen boat. And he was one we trained about 20 years ago, who'd been working ever since, and he just really likes forensics, and he really likes to track down. I live and work in the what we call the highest rate of stolen, the diamond, not the Bermuda Triangle, that's a different thing, but more stolen boats from between Fort Lauderdale and the West Indies in the world. They just pirate. That's recreational boats. Commercial boats now off the coast, both coasts of Africa. But the most stolen boats are from about Fort Lauderdale, which is directly 100 miles across the state, which is, includes the Gulf. We just had one stolen from in Naples. I don't know if it made national news. I don't know if you saw it. 24, 27-foot boat just taken right out of the marina in Naples and ended up, we're only 500 miles directly across from Mexico. Went to Texas, traded the boat to gun runners. They recovered, the FBI recovered the boat. So we are in the hub. So why do they choose you? And you may not be in South Florida, but I guarantee you there are people looking at boats to steal where you are. Security, okay, and marine surveyors get involved in that. Chandlery, what do you provide? What services do you provide to your customers? How can you provision the boat? How do you keep the boat up and running, basically, up and running? Protection from storms and wakes. For us, that's really, really important, okay? For in South Florida and Southwest Florida, storms and wakes, the wakes especially. Does anybody still pay attention to no wake signs? I just was curious. I live in the no wake, the no wake zone. Kindness and interest, how well you treat your customer. How interested you are in helping your customer get what they need done. And that affects marine surveyors. And then trouble in all of this. For you as a marina owner, for you as a manager, for you as someone who runs a yard, for you as someone who buys and sells boats, are you your favorability and your objectivity to your customer, how well you're treated. So I would, if you can get that, sometimes Southern Boating is online, sometimes they don't, if depending on how popular the article is. I strongly recommend them every September, no, not September, every October, is what they publish, the haul-out guide. And I have really appreciated that. They always send me extra copies, and I send them to survey our members, because there's an insert, a pull-out insert called the vessel haul-out guide, and they have the lists of things when you're hauling out and when you're repairing your vessel, not only for the boat owner, but for the marine surveyor. So it's just a good thing to know. So hold all those thoughts. I'm asking you to hold a lot in your brain. Okay? Your first duty is to your customer. It's not to the marine surveyor. If this is why it's very important for you to stay objective. Very important. I realize that you have, how many, raise your hand if you have a surveyor you like to call, or you know a surveyor who's coming on your yard. And that's great, and you trust that surveyor, okay? And that surveyor works with you. But it's your job to make sure there's distance between you and that surveyor, always. There's always objective distance. So, because your job is your duty to your customer. Okay? So feel free to recommend surveyors. We see nothing wrong with that. Our most popular surveyor is attached to 3 boat yards in California. They love him. He does a great job. But they always have posted on their counter, all of them, the fact that you are choosing the surveyor. So that's something, it's really important to think about that. Okay, so here's where it gets tricky with you and your surveyor. West refers to Westlaw. This is pulled, and this, my children helped me do this, so this, I'm not a lawyer. But this was the first case that held a marina responsible for what happened to the boat. Not the surveyor. Okay, the marina. So, slip, mooring, and dry rack storage agreements are governed by maritime law, period. Doesn't matter if you're inland, doesn't matter if you're coastal. If you have slip, mooring, and storage agreements, those automatically are governed by maritime law. Okay? However, your state law can take precedence. Okay? But both have equal weight in governing what happens to boats, especially if a marine surveyor is involved. I can tell you if you, I hope you have warranty clauses in your marina contracts. Most of you do, I'm preaching to the choir. But every single marine surveyor trained by us has a Loctite warranty clause. Okay? And what's, you know what a warranty clause that is. The surveyor's warranty clause always states, this survey was done on this date and applies only what to the surveyor could see and inspect on this date. Yes, your customers will try to sue you. Yes, your customers will try to sue the surveyor. Okay, they generally don't go too far. And they generally settle out. The last suit, I've had one major suit from one surveyor in 32 years, and it involved a sale at a marina yacht broker in Fort Lauderdale. It was a mega yacht. And the owner had plenty of money to keep pursuing this surveyor. he did not prevail. The marina was responsible because the marina sold him the boat. And then it was going to be appealed, and unfortunately that surveyor suffered a massive stroke last year, and I don't know what happened to the case. I didn't finish it. So there are very few maritime law cases involving surveyors and marinas, but this is the one, and this happened down in Fort Lauderdale, Everglades Marina, where, and this is the one they use as precedent. So if you, and in this particular case, the marina had recommended the surveyor. So you might want to look it up and check it out if you're interested. And no matter where the boat is located on your premises, can be in the water, can be on the waves, it can be in the storage rack, okay, you're responsible. Pretty much that's what that particular case said. Yes, there are vagaries, yes, there are anomalies, but that particular case is pretty much the deciding factor in who's responsible for a boat that's sold from a marina. Okay, we already talked about who chooses your surveyor. Can insurance companies usually choose the adjuster? Do you know the difference between an adjuster and a surveyor? If you want to pick up one of the other handouts, do you know the difference? We in South Florida know the difference because we have nothing but storms roll through there all the time. Last major one was Irma. We also had Nestor did some damage just in October. Do you know the difference between this? Surveyor's not the adjuster. Do you know what the adjuster does versus what the surveyor does? The adjuster polishes off the claim. Do you need a surveyor? Yes. A surveyor works usually hand in hand with an adjuster if they're doing in Florida mostly they use both. I've never seen major insurance companies are right there with adjusters. They're right there. What happened in the Bahamas, I don't know if you all have been to the Bahamas. I lived in the Bahamas for 2 years. That devastation, I still know people there. My cousin had a home in Marsh Harbor. That's just total devastation. We have a member insurance company, Knight Insurance, that immediately put out a request to all. I have I'm old. You know, when you send emails out, I have a broadcast, looking for 12 surveyors to accompany his insurance company, a lot of boats insured in the Bahamas, put out a broadcast, I need CAT-certified surveyors. For us, the CAT-certified surveyor catastrophe is our accident and fraud course, and I let them respond. We don't get involved. We do not recommend particular surveyors. I get calls all the time. Hey, I got a boat. I live in Ohio. I got a boat in Lauderdale. Who can you recommend? I send them to the website. We have a posted roster of active surveyors with continuing ed credits. That broadcast asked for 12 surveyors to accompany this insurance company. He stays a member so he can keep in touch with our surveyors. and they're just now getting there. I believe that was Dorian, and Dorian hit in August, late August, right? Early September. And they're just now, the devastation, there wasn't anything living in Freeport on that end of the island. So that is something they do. But insurance companies do ask for and can assign adjusters, and they can request surveyors. Okay. Okay. I'm going to talk in a little bit, in a few minutes, about problems with that. So, conflicts of interest. You got to have firewalls for your business. I know you probably love your surveyors, the ones you invite on the premises, the ones you know and you've known for years. And if you're a surveyor and you own a marina, you can do that. People say, oh, you can't do, but yeah, you can. You have to be transparent to your customer. And you're going to get in trouble if you did the survey and then you go repair the boat. Okay, so you got to think about that stuff when you're a full service marina. Those are the conflicts of interest. Okay. Just our recommendation to both the surveyor and where that surveyor gets most of his or her, I always say her now because we got three women, be transparent. And don't accept the survey if you see trouble down the road and you're not transparent. Okay, and then always state the purpose of the survey. You have a right as a marina owner, you know, you see a boat at a slip, nobody's touched, and finally somebody calls and said, hey, we moved, can you sell my boat? Can you find me a surveyor? You can do that. But you need to explain to the surveyor why the surveyor is coming on the premises. Okay? That's only fair. And you know, here are the basic, we've already been over the basic reasons. And I've already talked about repairs. Do you have a marina? Everybody has a marina boat yard that repairs, right? Does repairs? Anybody? Yeah. You got to be real careful with that. And then the other concern is professional cooperation. You got to be as transparent as you can down the road until our surveyor who died, until the boat yard called him and said, they want to return the boat. Why do they want to return the boat? You didn't do a good job. No, I did a great job. Okay, you want to stay cooperative. Okay? So, there is another handout in the back. There's actually quite a few. The article in Southern Boating is a great starting point, but there are quite a few. There was another article, I believe this was, I want to say Marine Insurance Journal. There's another one great there it's called What Marine Surveyors Do. And if you didn't pick up the Vessel Inspection Haulout Guide, you and your surveyor, okay, if you have a haulout guide, if you have a prescription for inviting an independent contractor onto your premises, great. You might want to consider having one to protect yourself, right? Because here's what's going to happen. And this just happened to one of our students who's a new student. The reason he took our course is he was insured by Boat US, and his boat went through a storm in Louisiana. And they sent their adjuster down. And his boat was fairly new. It was probably within the last maybe 5 years. He didn't like what the adjuster appraised it for. And he immediately took the insurance company. He immediately took Boat US into litigation. So he took our course so he could understand what the surveyor he hired was doing and the adjuster was doing. That's a couple of we have a few students who do that. His boat at the marina while he was in litigation with Boat US, started taking on water. It was a beautiful yacht. It was a sailing yacht. And that compounded the problem. So, and he had left the yacht in the care of the marina management because the marina had not been involved until then. So there are a lot of different ways you as a marina owner or as a boatyard owner can get in trouble. And you fully did not intend to. It just happens. And you know that. So we talked about repairs and how that's the big deal. So now, there's some professional concerns. Let's go back to the top on who chooses the surveyor. Okay, I mentioned that there is no licensing organization in the United States, is there? The federal government, the only thing the federal government wants, there's two. There's fishing vessel inspection, which we are a Title 46 fishing vessel trainer. When our surveyors take our courses, they have the option when they enroll, they can take our exam for fishing vessel inspection. Now, you guys are inland. You probably don't have fish. You have some fishing vessel fleets. But we have fishing vessel fleets all over Florida. Coast Guard has turned over, they turned over about, 25, 23 years ago to the civilian sector, which we're the civilian sector. And our course, our fishing vessel program, is approved by the Coast Guard. It's called Similarly Qualified. It's an option. You don't have to do it. We don't make them do it. Alaska, Washington, got one in Rhode Island, got one in Massachusetts. Got two in Texas, got one in on the Gulf. Those surveyors have taken our program and are similarly qualified inspectors. And that is the only thing that the Coast Guard gets involved in as far as overseeing. They oversee through us. And I report to them every year. I get decals. I give them a list. However, this past year, towing vessels, which does affect you, the Coast Guard asked us if we wanted to be. We don't have a lot of tow. We're mostly fishing and recreational. And we are so busy with what we do. I went about halfway through putting our school through the training program. It's out of Kentucky. And I thought, why am I doing this? The Coast Guard still has their school open. You can go to Kentucky. They can travel there. They can go get towboat inspection. So I didn't see that as a benefit. I saw that as more work than benefit. And not every surveyor will do that. That's the commercial end. We have two commercial courses. We have cargo and we have commercial. But those guys were not that interested. Our guys were not that interested. So I withdrew our name from that. So we don't do that. But towboat is governed. It's push-pull. It's governed by the Coast Guard, and you can be a similarly qualified organization. There's very few. They only have three or four because it's a very special part of the surveying business. So, back to my point, who governs marine surveyors? It's self-governing. You are self-certified when you're a marine surveyor. There are lots of different paths, many, many different paths to get to the business. So a surveyor, and you are within your rights asking surveyors who are at your marina, asking them to see your resume and who they're affiliated with. There are lots of letters after their name. Number one, they should be affiliated with the American Boat and Yacht Council. We actually have a discount program with ABYC. One of their final qualifications is, can you show me your ABYC membership. That they're in Annapolis. They're the safety end of the Coast Guard. They offer courses, more training courses, more specialized ones than we do. But they have a drop-down menu, and we're on it. And it's you get a student discount for part of your training. Number two, you can join as many organizations as you want. And legally, you don't have to join any of them. But what I tell our new students is, we are the starting place. Okay. In the mid-2000s, Some of our surveyors started calling us and saying, well, the insurance company won't take my survey because I'm not a member of competitive organizations. And pretty much most of them stopped doing that after I got my son involved. Unfortunately, we have just taken Boat US to court over that. And they have offered to settle with me because their former marine underwriter was telling surveyors who wanted to do surveys for Boat US, they had to be a member of one of our competitive organizations, which there's no precedent for that, which we have in discovery found out that Boat US had a secret reciprocal free membership in Boat US agreement if that organization would provide them with so many surveys, which is illegal. I'm not a lawyer. I'm quoting my son. So that in the state of Florida, period, I know it's illegal. You can't do that in the insurance business in the state of Florida. So that gives you a little bit of, I'm trying to lay the groundwork here, which leads me back to, are you allowed to stop a surveyor from working in your yard? Yeah, if he doesn't have the qualifications you need for your yard protection. Workman's comp, got to show it. Liability, got to show it. A good captain's license insurance policy provides liability. If the surveyor's going to take the boat out underway, that surveyor better have a captain's license. You know, the nickname captain's license, right? The surveyor needs to tell the yard. And the best parallel training for a marine surveyor is a captain's license course. Really opens their minds. It really, and most of them, a lot of them have it. Can they steer the boat by themselves without a captain's license to do an underway test? No. But the owner can be on board and they can do it. And you can, the owner or the owner's representative. That's how they get around it. You can ask the surveyor to meet your independent contractor qualifications. But what's going to get you in trouble is if you say they have to use the surveyor you tell them to. That gets you in trouble. That I would never say. I would say and you're wise to keep a list. If you got a list of certified surveyors, what we call the word in the business is certified. If you got a list, I would have a list. And I'd make it sort of independent. I'd make it a generous list of people you like to work with. However, if the customer twists that to turning that into a surveyor you recommended, that can come back to haunt you. So I'm not advising you. I'm telling you, I'm giving you a little bit anecdotal experience of what goes on in the business. I hope it makes you think. There was another handout back there called Do-It-Yourself Boatyard Rules, if you picked it up. And you have rules, you know, I strongly recommend if you have independent contractors, whether they're surveyors or not, coming in and out of your yard, that you have a vessel haul-out guide and you have independent contractors guide. And I brought some information about us. I have one last thing I need to say. 2019 was the year of the woman in the maritime industry. Do you know what the percentages of women, other than the cruise ship industry, I'm talking about maritime workers, do you know what the percentages of women in that industry? 1%. So I'm thrilled. I have one of our best surveyors joined us about 5 years ago. She's got her sister involved. They are in inland. They're in Arizona. They pretty much own their market. They're houseboat surveyors. She does this most incredible survey report I've ever seen, and she shared it with our members. and you know, fads go in and out. Last couple of years, the request for surveyors has been houseboat, most houseboat. The statistic. Used boat sales are down 20%. I'm glad we have a great economy, but I believe I get I follow trade only, soundings trade only statistics annually, and I follow the other one, boating industry. And I watched their statistics. So far, it was supposed to be a bang-up year. Things were going great until about the midsummer, and now it's a little bit down. It's down 18 to 19% for used boats. So, but houseboats are up. And I know some of you are in houseboating areas. Houseboats are maintaining strong. So now it's time, if you have any questions, you want to know how to find us, navsurvey.com. Our website is very dense. People complain about it. We're dense on purpose. You can't be Mr. Joe Smith off the sidewalk and call us and say, hey, I want to be a marine surveyor. That's not going to work. It doesn't work that way. So people say, well, you know, especially our competitors, well, how do you vet yourself? It's pretty much self-vetting. Our courses are based on the Coast Guard. If you know what a NAVIC is, the Coast Guard publishes pretty much white papers. I call them white papers. They're memos of understanding on, can you hold that for me? On steel, wood, fiberglass, aluminum, safety equipment, firefighting equipment, submersibles. We even have ice boats in our course. Got ice boats in here? Who's got ice boating? I'm not doing that. I posted a picture. Lake Erie has a race every year or something with ice boats. Who's anybody on Lake Erie? Oh, my God. No, but ice boats are in our course. Because they're boats. So, having said all that, I'm not here to... I can't tell you that, you know, use the surveyor or use our course or use that organization. You have ways of making sure your surveyor knows their stuff. Our website is very, very dense. The icons at the top of our website, I don't know how I turned that off. I think I just hit the switch. But if you go to navsurvey.com, you want to play around. We have an online free quiz that's a Likert scale. In other words, if you score so many points, it's actually on the homepage. It's right up there. It says, take this free quiz, and you answer 10 questions, and that vets you. You have to get a score of 30 or higher for me to even suggest that you might want to do this. And then we have a free online course, which is a foundations course. It's 20 questions, and that one when people take that one, I know they're very serious about probably adding this business or doing this or training one of their children to do it, or they're somebody. I have marina managers. My boss is going to pay for this. We got a marina, and he just did that. He just finished it finally. Louisville. But the point is, the website is dense. It's for somebody it's kind of a gatekeeper thing. If you play around with the website, you can learn a lot about the business. You can see if it's suitable for you or someone you're employing, or see if your surveyor knows it. We keep a much lower profile. Our two main competitors are SAMS and NAMS, the Society of Accredited Marine Surveyors and National Association. NAMS is fairly commercial. They're very old school. They are the oldest organization, but not the oldest school. They never trained. They did it by apprenticeship only. You worked with a surveyor, somebody in your hometown, and that's kind of going by the way because people don't have time for that, and they're very knowledgeable anyway. Our students are knowledgeable. SAMS sort of patterned itself after NAMS. They came in 2 years after us when they saw that people were taking our courses. We have members who are both SAMS and us. We have members who moved to SAMS and came back. We have members who went to SAMS, and they're now they've been presidents of SAMS. But we are the only one with a course that requires vetting and requires... the exam is 100 questions for recreational and small commercial. The membership exam is 20 questions of ethics and professionalism. The fishing vessel exam is 100 questions, and it's reviewed every year by the Coast Guard. In fact, I just had to rewrite it. And I hope through us you get a much broader picture of what's going on in the business. And your surveyor that you use might only be SAMS. That's fine. A lot of SAMS surveyors started with us. A lot, lots of... NAMs I don't hear much about anymore. I think SAMS tried to incorporate NAMs at one time about 15 years ago. I don't think it worked.